Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we're going to talk politics, of course, with Democratic consultant Dan Hart and PR expert Liz Trosper. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Bob Kroll, John Galtney, and Joe Guild. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Save energy and money. Take control at NVEnergy.com.
Success at TRI has come from public-private partnerships. I'm here at the Story County Public Services Facility with Roger Norman, master developer, and Bum Hess, Story County Commission. Let's listen in.
Roger, this county facility that you built really looks great.
Thank you. The fire sheriff and building department will be housed here, which is a real asset to this park.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the largest industrial park in the world, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Retailers, businesses where all of us shop. Good for you and good for Nevada. We're the Retail Association of Nevada, working to strengthen the business environment for Nevada retailers. And that's good for you. Retailers create nearly 500,000 jobs for Nevadans. Generated over $2 billion just in sales tax revenues in 1 year. Provided nearly $700 million to help our schools. And built a $20 billion positive impact on our state's economy. Retail works for Nevada and works for you.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're very pleased to welcome the program Dan Hart. He is the managing partner of Dan Hart & Associates, and Elizabeth Trosper, who has joined the company and the public relations guru. Pleasure to have you both on the program. So let's start out on the public relations side. Senator Reid, by the time this airs, is going to be completing his bus tour of Nevada. His poll numbers are terrible, and yet we have not seen any major advertising on his campaign's behalf since the end of last year. As a public relations expert, what's your advice for him and his campaign?
I guess my advice would be we're still in April, okay? What happens in April really doesn't translate to voters who vote in November. So I think the senator is waiting until after the primary. I think he's going to be wise with his dollars, but he's doing an excellent job of outreach right now. I know I wanted to stay to UNR today and hopefully see him, but I know we have an earlier flight to catch back.
You know, it's interesting. He is amassing such a war chest that really in Nevada, will he even be able to spend that much money?
You know what? I believe he can.
You hope he can.
I think I'll be slipping in my number later.
Your thoughts on the same subject?
Well, I think that all politics, all elections are about choices. For Senator Reid, he's saving his money until those choices are clear. There's quite a battle in the Republican primary. He doesn't know who his opponent is going to be. So once that is defined, I think you'll see the bulk of the money spent. And yes, he can spend it all in Nevada.
Elizabeth, you were talking about a oil pipeline that goes from Salt Lake City down to Las Vegas. It could be online next year, is that right? And that's one of your clients. Could you talk about that a little
Absolutely.
Bit?
Absolutely. Our firm focuses on energy and water, and one of the clients is Holly Energy, which is actually the UNEP pipeline project. It's a partnership between Sinclair and Holly. And the pipeline actually comes from the refineries in Salt Lake City. There is a terminal in Cedar City, and then the final terminal is in North Las Vegas. And actually, it is almost complete. There are 9 stations where the fuel will be stored. Ground was broke about a year and a half ago, and so that actually will be completed. I know that they were waiting for the BLM to complete the final approval for the rod so that they can begin the laying of pipe. And what's amazing about this whole project is the pipeline can be done in about 6 months. It's actually building the terminals that takes so long, and that's about a little over a year to do that.
Well, you know, on this pipeline, is there any chance that some of that oil might be going to northern Nevada if it only takes a year to build a pipeline?
You know, it's a possibility. What was very important, and I believe it was in 2006, a Blue Ribbon Commission study was done, and I know that Randy Walker was heading up that commission, and it was presented to the county commissioners that we only have one source of fuel that comes into southern Nevada, and that is from California. If something happens to that fuel source, we will be out of fuel within, I believe, 12 to 18 hours. So having a project of this magnitude come into the area was very important for us.
You know, Kinder Morgan pretty much has the whole deal in the state because they supply for southern Nevada and also for northern Nevada, and it's exactly the same situation. Kind of scary that if there was some kind of rupture in the pipeline, how many tankers could you have coming over the Sierra to be able to fulfill that? The whole state is gearing towards green energy and becoming this centerpiece for the country in terms of energy. When do you think it's actually going to make money?
Wow, that's a tough question. Dan, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, you know, certainly Senator Reid is pushing to get as many federal dollars into the state to be able to do this. You're seeing this combination between LS Power and NV Energy to build the transmission lines north and south in the state in that corridor over in eastern Nevada. There's also going to be a lot of construction that goes on, you know, to be able to move the energy from where it's being produced to those. So, I mean, you know, we'll see some construction money there.
The encouragement, government has to begin, government has started to begin to encourage green energy. It hasn't completely engaged yet. I think that we've seen the beginning of that. And as government does that, the private sector will mass produce some of these components, which are very expensive to provide. Once those prices go down, there will be a balance and we'll be able to make money on it.
But you're absolutely right, Sam. You were speaking about the power transmission line, and I know Senator Reid was instrumental in getting that project on the ground and moving forward, you know, helping with the funding for both companies. But that is
key. It's a huge match.
It's huge. Yes, it is a huge match. And it's key for our state. I mean, we have California, we have Utah, all that have, you know, the transmission lines that go through the center of the states that carry the power. So for Nevada, it is critical. And for all of those projects to pencil out and make money.
All right, let's take a break. More with the folks here from Dan Hart & Associates when we come back.
I'm attorney Marilyn York. We only seek men as clients. If you are a man burdened by divorce, please visit our website at www.marilynyork.net to learn more about your rights. We are Reno's largest exclusive divorce and family law firm.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, call this number now.
I owed over $19,000 on my credit card, but I only paid $3,800.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, call this number or go to debt10000.com and let us help.
I owed over $11,500 on my credit card, but I only paid $3,400.
Call 800-604-4763 or go to debt10000.com.
Thanks for your help, Don.
Sure, Mike. How's your construction business going?
It's really growing. How's your business going?
Well, ever since I opened the restaurant, I've been having trouble with my workers' comp program. Who handles your workers' comp?
Well, I use Pro Group Management. They really work with me.
Are they expensive?
Well, I've never had an increase in rates.
Whoa.
I'll get you the number. And thanks again, Don. I couldn't have done this without you.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York, and we protect men. You deserve a fair financial settlement and time with your children.
If you need an attorney that gives a damn, call 324-7979 or visit MarilynYork.net for all your family law needs.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Dan Hart and Elizabeth Trosper, both members of Dan Hart & Associates. I want to talk about the Rory Reid campaign, because it's kind of interesting. He keeps putting out all these different policy papers, and it reminds me of exactly what Jan Jones did. And she put out these terrific policy papers on education, senior citizens, all kinds of things. And I know that I read them and her mom read them, but I'm not sure anybody else reads them. What do you think of his campaign so far?
Well, I think that he's established himself as the candidate who has a plan. And I think that that certainly must have been part of the calculus going into it. I think that he's...
But does it get through the general public, though?
Well, I think that, you know, does it all get through? No. But I think there's pieces, and certainly there's a perception that trickles down to Joe Sixpack, the average voter. And I think that that's to his credit. I think people want a politician going forward who has an idea of, or a governor going forward who has an idea of what he or she is going to do. And, you know, I think Rory's distinguishing himself in that regard. I think it's not, there are those among us who do read every word, but it's more for the larger consumption about the way a politician or a candidate approaches problems.
Do you think that there's a problem with two reads on the ballot? I personally think that the public is smart enough to be able to differentiate between two candidates, even if they're from the same family.
You know, Sam, people will make that leap, and I think that the problems that we're facing are so large and significant, and there is that the people will make the distinction. I think that election, each election, is going to be about something more than who's somebody's father or who's somebody's son.
Yeah, but as a political consultant, Dan, isn't that a problem when Harry Reid and your gubernatorial candidate have the same last name? And there is some baggage that goes along with that last name when you take a Republican point of view at it.
Well, there's positives and negatives. Certainly you have a name recognition going in. It may not be the best name recognition, but you do have a certain amount of recognition. I think at the beginning of campaigns, people will point it out as a problem. Because at the beginning of campaigns, people don't know that much about the candidates except for their last name. So now as the campaign becomes more well-defined, there's a sharper point on the candidates and their campaigns. They're defined otherwise than their last names, and I think that's what will ultimately happen in this race.
Is there any personal friction between the senator and Rory Reid at all?
None that I know of. No, I've never experienced it.
Okay.
Yeah, no, they still talk to each other.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
Senator Reid says,
or are they talking? How
are
they talking to each other? I wonder.
No, I think.
This is the same story with Governor Gwynn. He didn't tell his son what to do, mm-hmm. and certainly Senator Reid's son Rory is old enough to make his own decision.
And has. And you know, I mean, we go back to the congressional race when Dario Herrera first ran for Congress. The Senator Reid was pretty out front about encouraging Rory to run for that, and he didn't want to run for it. He wanted to run for county commissioner and senator, and he disagreed on that.
Would it be better, though, for each candidate named Reid if the other candidate named Reid were not in the race?
It would be better if nobody was running against them.
So, Liz, now Senator Reid, you know, has not had a competitive race in 12 years, and there's an awful lot of people who've moved to Nevada who don't know him, and what they know of him is his national positions, mm-hmm. Where he has to represent all the Democrats. How is he able to redefine himself as, you know, a Nevada Democrat? You know, his last campaign was independent like Nevada. Mm-hmm. How does he pull that off when day after day people are watching him, you know, be the majority leader of the United States Senate without necessarily understanding what power comes along with that?
Well, I think the most important critical element of his campaign will be the outreach. I think once you have a candidate that you actually get out, that gets out there and touches the people, they form a connection. You know, we believe in relationships. I believe relationships are key in any campaign. You can have television that'll complement it, but your grassroots really are going to be critical in this aspect. And I think once people, you know, realize that we have, you know, the Senate Majority Leader within our state and the importance that that goes along with it, and I think that's going to be part of his messaging, that it would be very, you know, very helpful to him.
What you say, Sam, it's absolutely true that that people don't know Senator Reid, but the extrapolation of that is that they don't know exactly what he's done for Nevada either. And that's what the campaign is concentrating on now, not just telling people about Senator Reid, but telling people about what how the state has benefited from his tenure, and I think that that's important.
Yes, Sig Rogich, Republicans for Reid, said that that's one of Senator Reid's biggest failings, and on this program, Senator Reid for a moment said, well, I don't like to blow my own horn, and then spend the next couple of minutes blowing his own horn, which was kind of interesting. What do you think about the Tea Party and the effect that it will have on these campaigns? Because they are so well organized, even though they're not really an official party and they want to stay a part of the Republican Party. What do you think of the effects that they're going to have in this election?
I believe because they are so well organized, and unless the state and the county Republican parties actually pull together and have a, I know they're looking for a new leader for the state party, and if they're actually able to formulate, organize, and execute a plan, I think the Tea Party is going to have an effect on it.
Tea Party's a wild card. We don't know. We've never experienced something like this before. So it remains to be seen. It's certainly, there are a group of people out there that we label Tea Party people that have to be addressed by either or both parties. There's a dissatisfaction. We can look to the roots of that. Certainly some of it's economic, some of it's dissatisfaction with what's going on in D.C., but you can't, to be ignored at each party's peril.
Dan, could you speak a little bit about your project, Gubernatorial Independent Expenditure Work? What is that exactly?
Well, they're a group of people that have looked towards influencing or having their message heard in the governor's race, and they're not affiliated with any particular campaign. And so I have put together a group that is going to be spending some money talking about the various qualifications of candidates in the governor's race.
Okay, what are these groups and what are their what's their dog in this hunt?
Well, you will see probably within the next 10 days the campaign will be unveiled. I don't want to breach any confidences yet. I'd be happy to
which they do start breaching confidence.
Well, we can talk about that later. There are a variety of people of like minds. There are several unions that are involved, and we've done some private fundraising. So we've put together some money to talk about the qualifications of the candidates, and I think that that's important.
This helps Rory Reid.
Well, I'm not affiliated with Rory Reid's campaign,
but it seems
it's an entirely independent. Well, that's why we call it an independent expenditure.
I got one last quick question for you. We've got about 15 seconds here. You ran the marijuana campaign in the state here several years ago.
The one that was successful. Yes.
What do you think the chances are with the climate in California changing that the marijuana project may have some success?
It's always, the problem in this state is that if you get opposition from law enforcement, it's a very high hill to climb. If a law enforcement remains neutral on it, then it's a little bit more palatable to people. But if law enforcement comes out against it, it's going to be very hard to pass.
And that's where we've got to leave it. Thank you both so much. We appreciate it. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Discover a place where entrees are served free of distractions. Wine Spectator has.
Enjoy great contemporary cuisine at David's Grill at Red Hawk.
Attention, Northern Nevada. The automotive sales event you've been waiting for is here. The Mega Red Tag Sale at Internet Auto Rented Sales. Get 2.9% financing or $4,000 guaranteed for your trade. Push, pull, or drag. Hundreds of vehicles are in stock and red tagged for immediate liquidation. Unbelievable markdown with prices starting at just $29.95. When the fences go up, the prices come down. It's the Mega Red Tag event going on now at Internet Auto Rent and Sales.
All these rainy days, they last forever. Oh, so it seems. It's time to wake up and make it real. Look out, world, cause here I come. Spread my wings and now I'm flying free.
Why would you even consider a Subaru Outback when the 2011 Kia Sorento is already here and crushes the Outback across the board? As you can see, there are over 20 features available on a new Sorento that are not offered by the Outback, yet it costs about the same. Finally, the Sorento now offers rebates up to $5,000. Plus, a lifetime of tires is included.
I guess I'll see you at Reno Kia.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, these guys have been hanging around for 24 hours here. Dean Hello pushed them off the stage yesterday. We've got John Galtney, the economist, Bob Kroll, mayor of Carson City, and attorney Joe Gill. Pleasure to have you all here.
Morning.
I wanted to pick up on what we were talking about yesterday, which is the constitutionality question of the whole health care deal. And I wanted to, let's start with you, Mayor Bob. You know, isn't education something that we're also forced to pay for?
Well, I think we're forced to pay for a lot of things. Enforced is a term of art that you want to be careful using the word, because I think we all pay taxes, and an issue that you deal with because you're a citizen of the United States. And I've used it on this show before, is that, you know, in law school there was the old question of, why should I pay taxes for a lighthouse? Why should I pay taxes in Nevada for a lighthouse in Maine? And the issue gets to, well, there are certain areas where there's a national requirement where you can't just fund it on one side, and there's a commerce issue that we want commerce to come to the East Coast and to filter through the rest, so we all share in that. And so there are times, and taxes are a great example of that, where we collectively agree that these services are things that can't be funded just locally, and that have to be done on a national level. That's why we pay federal income taxes.
All right. So then the constitutionality question with health care, how does that play into that?
Well, remember what's being called into question. One small part of the health care legislation that was passed, and that is the requirement that the government tells a person that they have to have health insurance. They have to buy a product, and that has never happened in our history. And I've heard the analogy, you know, well, you have to buy car insurance. You do if you voluntarily decide that you're going to drive a car. Want to drive a motorcycle in a helmet state? You have to wear a helmet. But you can choose not to drive the motorcycle or have the motorcycle. For the first time in our history, and this is a Commerce Clause question, very narrow question in my mind, legally, the government is telling all of its citizens over the age of 18 that they have to purchase something. And I think there's a legitimate question of equal protection there that the courts will obviously decide.
John, you're the economist.
Well, you know, Joe's the attorney, and I certainly understand that there's a fine line of difference here. And I've taught political science for years and believe probably the Supreme Court will come down on the side of the health care bill. I don't philosophically agree with that, but I think that's probably going to be the outcome. I'm not so terribly worried about it from that perspective. I'm terribly concerned about the misallocation of resources question. Could I give you one quick example? I did a little research, and I think credible economists would pretty well agree that if you eliminated all the poverty programs in the United States, all of them, and gave the money to the poor people, you would actually raise the standard of living for the poor in the United States well above the poverty level. It is clear to me, after 40 years of watching, that the bureaucracy in D.C. is muscle-bound. It simply does not function anymore. My liberal friends still think you can pass things through Congress, and they'll actually happen, and it just doesn't work. The simple fact is that we are looking at the French model, and we're beginning to misappropriate. And so I would agree with the congressman, but not necessarily from the same standpoint. He was a little hard on Keynesian folks. I'm a Keynesian folks. The fact is, I could take a group of seventh graders and make Keynesian economics work, but Congress can't. present.
Well, and I think it's important to realize that there's another side of the argument on whether you're forced to buy insurance or forced to buy a helmet or forced to buy auto insurance. And Joe makes a good point that you voluntarily agree that you want to drive a car, or you voluntarily agree that you want to drive a motorcycle, and therefore, you know, I understand the argument that, you know, there's a distinction at that level on health care. But the next step of that is that you don't voluntarily agree to get sick or voluntarily agree to go to the hospital. You involuntarily do that, and when you involuntarily do that and you don't have coverage, you put that on the rest of us in society to make that to cover those costs. And so the argument, I think, gets a little closer to saying, you know what, we do require people to exercise personal responsibility when you're actions, whether they're voluntary or involuntary, cause a reaction for me to pay.
And the big problem in our country is the insurance companies have come between the doctors and the patients. I have personal experience in that, yeah. And it's outrageous. And that part of it absolutely needs to be fixed.
Ronnie? And so isn't this bill, with all of its warts and problems, and I think we all agree it has many.
Congress created it.
Right, exactly. But isn't it really a first step? Isn't it going to take care of a lot of issues for some people that cost them hundreds of thousands of dollars without being able to secure private health care?
Yesterday, Congressman Heller agreed with you that there are good parts of that bill.
Yeah,
I think there has to be a step in that because the cost of health care is driving jobs away.
Okay, I totally agree they're good parts. I disagree strongly that it was a reasonable way to solve a problem. When you create bigger problems to solve a problem, and there's where I come down.
All right, and that's where we're going to leave it. Thank you all very much. Great discussion. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
On the next Face to Face, we'll be joined by the always outspoken Clark County Commissioner Chris Giunchiliani, and Guy Hobbs, who knows more about the state's finances than anyone, will tell us what the future looks like.
Could you use a new BFF, one that will never leave your side and will always be loyal to you? Then Best Friends Puppy Store is where you'll find that special friendship. Our puppies only come from licensed breeders and we never use puppy mills. Don't you just want to take one of these guys home with you? They're all vaccinated and chipped, so you don't have to worry about your new buddy. We also carry a large selection of accessories and gifts for your pup. And when they need a haircut, we're a full-service groomer. Best Friends Puppy Store in South Virginia, just north of Vassar.
Attention, the Northern Nevada Regional MLS is opening doors for you. Area-wide open house day is April 10th. Northern Nevada will see one of the largest open houses of all time. Over 300 homes will be available for your viewing pleasure. Don't miss this opportunity to get an amazing deal on the property you've been looking for. Incentives for first-time homebuyers. View our interactive open house map at nnrmls.com for complete listings. Click on the We Open Doors logo. Agents, log on now to be a part of this exciting event. Public, save the date. April 10th is the day to get into the home of your dreams.
Beads, old and new from the four corners of the world. Beads of gold and silver, strands of rubies and sapphires. At Beads Etc., our award-winning staff can help you design your own fabulous jewelry or repair and redesign your old favorite treasures. With more than 18 years in business, Beads Etc.'s two locations offers you one of the largest selections of beads on the West Coast. Beads Etc., the world on a string. In Reno Smith Ridge Plaza in the New Village Center, South Lake Tahoe.
Sew & Such is your creative sewing community. Sew & Such carries the full line of Baby Lock machines, quality fabrics, sewing, and quilting accessories. Sew & Such in Franktown Corners.
Crime Tracker, only on News 4.
This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download the show free of charge from iTunes to your iPod and take it on the road with you. Coming up among the guests next week, Danny Tarkanian running for U.S. Senate in a very crowded primary, and we'll have the Sparks Mayor's debate. Should be quite a week right here on Nevada Newsmakers. Thanks for watching and listening.